Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
And I have no idea where the intro went up, but welcome everybody to For the Love of Paul McGrath. Aston Villa 1, Man City 4, post-match podcast. And yeah, look, it was what it was. I think that game was tonight. Things looked pretty good in the first half up until the last couple of minutes of the first half, and then that goal from Phil Foden when the wall breaks inexplicably. And Villa going 2-1 down. After that, the second half, there was just nothing. There was nothing really. Bar that shot from Douglas Luiz and the header from Longley within like 30 seconds of each other. There wasn't really anything in that second half. But look, you know, that's the way Man City play against a lot of teams. And while we said that we were hopeful more so than expecting at the start of this game, and I realized I forgot to put on my headphones, so I can't hear myself. While we said we were hopeful at the start of this game as opposed to expectant, Villa lose 4-1. And all because of the brilliance of Phil Foden and Rodri today. Outside of the two of them, I think we were able to marshal an awful lot of our players. I know people will talk about Grealish getting down the left-hand side an awful lot. I know people will talk about Doku getting down the right hand side or whatever for the first goal. But you know, I thought we were pretty resolute in a lot of areas. But obviously we go 3-1 down. We start to roll the dice. We bring in Chambers, who was Callum Chambers today, and we're forced to bring on Omari Kellyman instead of Zaniolo. And I think really the biggest thing from tonight, the two biggest areas that I'm going to look at tonight, yeah, we've lost the game, but Douglas Luiz is out against Brentford. That's not good. And Zaniolo picked up a thigh strain. That's also not good. We don't need any more injuries. We don't need any more players out in these games coming up. So for me, they're the two biggest talking points. They're the two biggest pieces I take away from tonight. It would have been great to get something out of this game tonight, and that's not being defeatist or anything. But, you know, once the second goal went in, once the third goal went in 62 minutes, you know, you're kind of hoping that it's not going to be any more than 3 or 4-1 then at that stage, considering the team that we had out and the fact that we were missing 11 players from our starting 11 today. Martinez, Cash, Mings, Pau Torres, Moreno, albeit Moreno was on the bench, Ramsey, Kamara, John McGinn, Bailey was on the bench, Ollie Watkins and Buendia, you know. So there was a gulf in experience towards within the second half, within the two teams, and you know, Phil Foden's class shone through. Paddy's after joining me. Paddy, not the night we wanted, not the scoreline we wanted.
I was just about to go. I didn't think you realized I was here. not that you particularly want to hear what I've got to say after that, I can tell you.
This isn't going to be a long one as well, by the way, guys, but still, look, you know, we do want to come on and kind of tie a bow on this one. You know, Phil Foden was the outstanding player on the field today. He scored two brilliant goals and one goal that was because Zaniolo comes out of the wall and inexplicably, you know, maneuvers his body in a way whereby the ball doesn't hit him. And you know, maybe things are different if that does hit off the wall and careers over the bar or goes out for a corner.
There's a huge difference in going in at halftime at 1-1 and going in 2-1 down. It's like when we need 11 players to stand up and battle. We don't need someone jumping out of the wall. I'm sorry, it's inexcusable at under 12 football. So to do it in the Premier League, like, it's laughable. You could hear the commentators having a little giggle at what happened. It's not good enough. It's absolutely not good enough. But look, I didn't expect anything tonight. We didn't get anything, but I expected more heart. I expected a little bit of fair play, which we didn't get either. Konsa pushed in the back, nothing. And across comes Callum Chambers and shoulders somebody off the ball, and it's a yellow card. Amazingly.
So, when the exact same thing happened to Konsa. I made a mistake about Douglas Luiz being out at the weekend. He's not out at the weekend. That. He's only on 8 cards, not 9. Yeah, so I thought he was on 9 cards. He's only on 9.
He needs to be on 10. Isn't that what it is?
That's it. Yeah. And thanks for calling me out on that one in the comments there, guys.
I was Googling here while you were chatting away to see. I don't think that's right. Anyway,
I Googled it and I looked at it and it had already updated to 9 cards. And then I went, oh, that must have been his 10th. So that's where I got my fake news from. As you said, the free kick was a kick in the nuts, really, wasn't it? Because it was a silly free kick to give away in the first place, I thought as well. You know, it was a silly enough free kick to give away in the first place. And Douglas Luiz and Sam Tai, a great time for Sam Tai. If you guys aren't following him on Twitter, I'd advise do it. I've been trying to get him on the podcast for a while. Hopefully we'll be able to get him on soon. But he mentioned one thing. He goes, Douglas Luiz doesn't have many flaws to his game, but sometimes he does give away frees in that area of the field. And it was one of those ones, Paddy. At the time that he gave it away, at the time that was in the game, there was a part of the pit of my stomach that went, I think this one's going in the back of the net. And then when the free kick goes in, I went, Jesus, that's an unbelievable free kick to get it around the wall from there. That's a serious free kick. And then when you see it back again, you go, ooh, yeah. He just literally kicked it straight at the wall. And it was just one of those ones, unfortunately. And Robin Olds, for all the talk about him in the pre-match, was absolutely brilliant tonight. There's nothing he could have done for any of the goals tonight.
No, you absolutely couldn't fault him. I thought his handling was excellent. He made a couple of great saves. He made himself big twice. One with his foot, one that either hit his chest or his face. I couldn't work it out. He couldn't blame him. And actually, when they showed the replay of the free kick, the wall was set up perfectly.
It was exactly. I was just saying the same thing. The next thing there.
I was blaming him. I said he shouldn't have been able to whip that around the wall the way he did. And then when I saw Zaniolo get out of the way, I was just fuming. But it wasn't the only thing I was fuming about tonight. I was fuming about lots of things. I was fuming about how little we saw of a replay of the first goal, which for some reason, Ali McCoy said he's definitely onside. To the naked eye, he's onside. The three people I was sitting with said he was offside. So I just don't know anymore. I just don't know. I don't know if PGMOL are playing the commentary into the fucking Stockley Park.
He was onside. Doc was onside there.
Show us the lines that you're drawing.
He was onside to the naked eye as well, though. You know, what pissed me off more was that Duran was clearly onside for our goal. And they took like 3 or 4 different angles and then two different phases of play. And I was like, come on. Like, you know, both the goals were onside. I was like, just sometimes you just overcomplicate and just play the game.
If you let me finish my comment, that's what I was getting to. So we saw minimal replays of Doku being offside, and then we saw every other angle that we could possibly see of our own one, and it's just double standards once again from the officials. Phil Foden should have been done for diving when he scored that third goal, but you know
I don't. Yeah, I saw a couple of people say that. I genuinely actually missed when he fell on the floor the first time, and I saw the goal all right. But I missed the people were talking about the initial tackling. The commentators were talking about it as well. I missed that. And I missed it in the replays as well. I missed the replay. The
commentator even said that young kid should be watching what he did for jumping straight back up and scoring a goal after diving. Why aren't they calling him out for what he is? Like, jeez, that Doku, unbelievable. Every time he lost the ball, he hit the ground. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I think we got out relatively unscathed tonight. We didn't get anybody suspended. Zaniolo was injured.
Contrary to my earlier nonsense, we didn't get anybody suspended. I just want to clarify that too.
Suspended, no. It's one of those now we need to draw a line under, and it's all about how we bounce back at the weekend. If we don't bounce back at the weekend, then we're in trouble, because that's the number one thing that needs to come out of tonight is to show us at Villa Park on Saturday that you're capable of bouncing back from that, because I'm very frustrated at the performance tonight. And I'm not going to lie either, I'm frustrated at the team selection. These are professional footballers that should be able to play three games in a week. I thought we would have been better to start with Tielemans, to start with Paul Torre.
You should have said that in the team sheet tantrum, Betty.
But we did. We spoke all about this in the team sheet tantrum.
I know, but we didn't. We didn't say that we were frustrated with the team in that. You know, we didn't. Now, we can rewrite history with regards to it if we want. But both of us sat here and we said, you know, we can see what he's done here, you know. And that's fair enough. And look, we can say it in hindsight. We can say it in hindsight for sure. That, look, listen, if I had my time back again, we play Tielemans and maybe Pau Torres or whatever. And I probably agree with you with regards to that. But then again, I thought Tim or Boonham had a decent game. I thought that the players that were kind of off for us tonight were... to be honest with you.
I thought Tim was a bit off the pace, to be honest, as well. That's no slighting him. He's only a young lad. I don't think he's ready yet for that level of football. It was a tough game for him to be put in there. Disappointing, but we move on. And if nothing else comes out tonight, Jack Grealish is dead to me. Absolutely dead to me. If he can come and try and get a player that he played with for a few years sent off, he's dead to me. Sorry. All of those times when he clapped coming on at Villa Park on his return and I clapped him, I take it all back, because he showed, and don't get me started on Bernardo Silva. Him and Bernardo Silva are exactly the same as Bruno Fernandes, only Jack oversteps the mark and gets himself booked every time he does it. So maybe he doesn't understand what Bernardo Silva is saying to him, because he re-referees every decision that's made, just like Bruno Fernandes, and the two of them get away with it. I don't know. Anyway, there we go.
As I said, tonight was... Look, it is what it is, 4-1. It wasn't against the realms of possibility that we would have lost this game today anyway. And like everybody was saying, it was a free hit before the game. It didn't work out. And I think probably, like, as I say, the biggest thing that I think needs to happen, just like you said there, is that we regroup for Brentford at the weekend. Hopefully Ollie Watkins is back at the weekend. Not that John Duran was poor or anything like that. Thought he ran himself into the ground, didn't get an awful lot of chances. Hopefully we'll have Super John McGinn. Looking forward to that. Douglas Luiz is not suspended for the third time. I need to clarify that. He is not suspended. And we'll have Pau Torres back. We'll have Emi Martinez back, I would hope, and stuff like that. And, you know, while the guys who came in, like, I thought Longley was absolutely fine tonight. Thought Diego Carr, like, I thought our centre-half partnership was fine tonight. No qualms or issues there. Like, we have to remember, like, Foden's hat-trick goal as well. When we look at that, like, the man kicks the ball slipping. There's an element of incredible fortune in that goal, but it's right in the top corner. There's no goalkeeper saving it. The second goal he gets is an absolute brilliant goal, right in the corner. But Diaby should have gone straight through Rodri to try and get the ball, but he didn't. And, you know, and while I can talk about that tackle not being up to standard, Foden's finish was absolutely excellent. So there was an element of, while City were the better team today, absolutely were the better team, they owned the ball, they were playing at home, they looked like Man City have looked like at the top of their form. The free kick goal was of our making. The tackle should have gone in for the second goal. And then the third goal was when Phil Foden slips. And I'm not talking down how much better Man City were, how much more they owned the ball. But facts are facts, I suppose, with regards to that. And all those three things actually happened in this game today. We did ride our luck at times, but I thought that we looked pretty compact as well, you know. And you know, the way that we set up, I did have one laugh in the first half though, and we went into a back six at times in the first half for the first 10, 15 minutes, and Zaniolo was left back and he was looking across the line and he hadn't a clue how to play the offside line. And you could see it, and I was like, and then Emery comes out to the technical area, and you could see him shouting. And all of a sudden, Zaniolo comes up, and Dina comes back out to play a kind of a back five instead. And I was kind of going, "Yeah, I'm glad somebody spotted that one, because Zaniolo didn't know where he was for the offside line." I actually tweeted it. Now, I thought he played well. I thought he carried the ball pretty well, and you know, he got involved in it for a goal. He takes the ball, he passes it into Morgan Rogers, who also played pretty well. You know, but City were by far the better outfit today. They owned the ball, and playing at home, they played like a home team did against a team that was missing 11 starters from their starting 11 today. So, look, we'll have better days ahead before now in the end of the season, I think.
Yeah, but we can't have any more days like that this year if we're going to finish in Champions League football, because you know it becomes a habit. So it needs to be a little bit more tactile against the likes of Arsenal and those big games that we still have left. We can't afford to be giving teams the respect we gave them in the second half. I thought we stood off them and failed to lay a glove on them. And that's basically what done us in the end. Well, with the free kick done us. And then obviously it was a different mood in the dressing room after that. But it's a huge game now Saturday. Absolutely huge game, and not because of the run in. It's because of how we bounce back from this, and I don't care how we get it. Once we come out of there with a 1-0 win, I'll be happy.
I'm getting my prediction for at the weekend. Aston Villa will win 2-0 versus Brentford. Look, if nothing else, my 5 cans that I had during the game will keep me smiling anyway after this. But I mean that, and as I say, I think like this team are made out of strong stuff. If we've learned nothing since Unai Emery has taken over this team, when we lose games, we come back and we are steeled after those. And more often than not, we win or we get a result in those games. You know, as I said, the internet could have exploded with the amount of "this is a free hit" and "chaos brothers" prior to the game. So then when we get to after the game, you know, it was either a free hit before the game, or it's not, and it's still a free hit after the game, or it's a game we should have come out of with points and we should be really frustrated afterwards. So that's the way I feel about it. Anyway, you guys can feel whatever you feel. As I say, we don't tell you how to be a fan here. We just like to try and discuss the game like two fellas down the pub. From that point of view, Brentford is the big one. And, you know, as I say, we get four of those. There's a potential we get four players back for Brentford at the weekend. And there will be four big players for us. So roll that on, and hopefully that does happen.
If anybody doesn't know the reason why I'm totally fucking pissed off after that, it's because my whole family's
I knew it. I was going to say it, but I thought it would rise you too much.
They are the worst fucking fans in the world. The worst fans. Did you hear when they got a corner at one stage during the game? You could actually hear a fella shouting in the crowd. One lad shouting in the crowd, you could hear. What a fucking embarrassing situation to be in, where you're chasing the league and your fans can't get behind you. They're absolutely abysmal. And roll on the day when the FA and the Premier League and UEFA and everybody else get their fucking finger out and decide what 115 charges they're going to do for them and relegate them to the conference where they've got one man and his dog watching the fucking match. Because looking at all the tourists in that stadium tonight, there won't be many fans in there by the time this comes around.
Well, at least the one man and his dog in the conference are loyal fans, as you're saying. They're there. Exactly. He'll have been the same fella that have been in Chatham Town for the last 40 years. And I salute that man. Absolutely salute that man, and salute his dog as well. Thanks very much, everybody, for watching. Wish we could have watched this or been here in better circumstances. But as I say, Aston Villa lose 4-1 to Manchester City. We will be back again at the weekend. I will cut a completely different figure in the beer garden of a pub from Kilkenny at the weekend. So Paddy's going to be driving the bus. That's why I'm going with my 2-0 prediction, because I may not get on for the team sheet tantrum at the weekend. I am one of my best mates is getting married soon, and we're going on a stag for 3 days in Kilkenny. I know usually it's only 2 days for a stag, but we're making the most out of it. So we're going on a 3-day stag for his stag party. So
not like you do the dog on it, Neil. You're not going to do the dog on it in Birmingham either, are you?
I'm teetotal after this weekend, I think. Teetotal after this weekend. If you believe that, you believe anything. But thanks very much.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks for coming in.
Grand, Stephen. But thanks very much, everybody, for watching. We'll chat to you later on and see you over the weekend. We'll probably do a preview show for Brentford, maybe tomorrow, maybe the night after. Actually, it'll have to be tomorrow night because Friday night I'll be otherwise occupied. But we'll see. Keep an eye out on social media. Thanks very much, everybody, for watching, for listening. Stay safe and stay healthy. And all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.